Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Best Interest of the Family Radio. I'm Dave Taylor, joined by my good friend, Larry Heron, the parent coach. How you doing, Larry?
Good evening, Dave. I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, I'm terrific. We've got Kate Ryan on tonight as our guest. What about that?
Couldn't be more excited. I'll tell you, Dave, we are absolutely honored to have the newest addition to the Oakland County bench, Ms. Kate Ryan, who absolutely did a phenomenal job in her race for judge, and we couldn't be more excited to have her on tonight and to have her as an addition on the Oakland County bench.
Well, I'll tell you, she ran quite a race, and I believe it was somewhere around 17,000 point spread, vote spread between her and her general election opponent. But she was the most deserved candidate, let's face it. So, you know, very highly qualified, great lady, comes there with a great legal mind, a lot of integrity, and, man, couldn't have been a better choice.
I couldn't agree more. She definitely had the experience, had all the endorsements because of that experience. And, she's going to do a great job. I'm very, very confident of that. And we're blessed to have her. We truly are.
Well, I'll tell you, speaking about great jobs, I went to my daughter's it was a recital of sorts this weekend, and she did a great job. I'm so proud of her and the other kids that were in this puppet ministry. Are you aware, Larry, that there are churches and teams that are coming together all across the U.S., but Michigan has a real affinity for this puppet ministry stuff. And it's really interesting because they not only make their own puppets and they animate them in all kinds of different ways. They make them really small to life size and even bigger. And they use black lights and all types of mechanisms that animate these stage props. And it's amazing. And I just get such a kick out of seeing my daughter, who's almost 10 years old, you know, just blossoming in the events that she gets involved with, and seeing her interact with the other kids and then the coaches and the adults and what have you. It's just such a pleasure to be a parent of a child. You know what I mean? Any age, any level. And unfortunately, as you're well aware of, and many of our listeners, there are folks that don't get that pleasure, and that's why we put on Best Interest of the Family Radio, right?
No question, Dave. And, you know, what you're talking about is just that. You get to participate, you get to observe, you get to coach, you get to contribute to your daughter's character, your daughter's personality, your daughter's growth. And she's thriving because of that. And quite honestly, it is exciting. And they're doing a great job with those kinds of things because everybody wins. You know, they're teaching those kids character. They're teaching them a skill. Kids, of course, are very excited about it. They're creative. And then they take that and try to channel the kids into being helpful to others and into sharing that ministry and helping others. And that's a great thing. And Becky, I know, does a phenomenal job with that. But you're right, Dave. That's how kids thrive. I mean, these are activities that they're doing, but it's the confidence that we give them that they take with them in giving themselves to those types of passions. And we got to be there. We got to take that time and take that opportunity to be active with them in order for them to incorporate that into their own psyche.
Well, and I know that our guest tonight, Kathleen Ryan, who is now the honorable, or will be when she's installed anyway, but we'll just go ahead and give her that title. How about that?
I've never, you know, Dave, it was funny. I was kind of saying that to her before she actually got the official winning results because I had a sense. I really did.
Yeah.
But I have absolutely no problem calling her judge. No question. She deserves it.
Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, these ideas and concepts and what have you about how we should raise our kids and the involvement that the parents should have in the raising and the responsibility of raising kids is not foreign to Kathleen Ryan by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, she gets it. She gets it.
And with that said, we'd like to give a big best interest of the family welcome to the newly elected judge, Kathleen Ryan. Good evening, Kathleen.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Terrific.
Doing great.
Thank you for all the wonderful, nice things you said. Who are you talking about?
Now you got to live up to all that, huh?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You deserve every bit of it and more. And Kathleen, you know, now that you've you know, got all most of the pressure is off now. I mean, I know that you're going into a new position for all intents and purposes. I know that law is not, you know, indifferent to you, but you know, this is a little different side of law. So how do you feel about things at this point?
Oh, well, I have a host of emotions. I am obviously honored to be elected by the citizens of Oakland County. I'm ecstatic that the election and campaigning is over. I am...
Pardon? We feel your pain.
Oh, yeah. It's quite the process. I am very excited. I'm just so excited. I feel so blessed. And at the same time, I'm nervous and I'm a little bit scared because it's a huge, huge responsibility. And I don't want to let anyone down. So, you know, with that knowledge, I know that there's going to be a big, giant learning curve, and I want to really be able to nail it and be the best judge possible for the people, for sure.
Well, Kate, if you need any help, if you got any room in your cabinet for a builder, you know, Dave, Teal Man. No, I'm sorry.
I don't know if I have any money in the coffers for a builder. The election process is a little expensive.
Kate, you're going to do a phenomenal job. You're going to take the same passions and the same skill and know-how that you ran that election with and that you've, my gosh, how long have you been practicing law now?
A little bit over 14 years.
So you're gonna take that experience and you're going to do just a phenomenal job at this level. And it's certainly not a completely foreign concept. I know being a federal judge is a little different, but at the same time, this kind of runs in the family, right?
Yes, sir. My father is actually just retired about a month ago from the Sixth Circuit United States Court of Appeals, and he was on the bench for, 46 years.
Amazing.
And then my brother is also a Wayne County Circuit Judge.
Wow.
So the law definitely runs in our family. However, I'm very proud of my father and my brother, and I couldn't, you know, have better mentors for sure. It's interesting that you mentioned my family because despite their awesome credentials, I worked very hard to keep their name out of this election because I wanted to be certain that I ran on my own merits. And not my family name, which unfortunately does happen a lot in politics. And so with that being said, I'm just tickled pink that I was able to do this. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without all the support of people and friends like yourselves and family members and grassroots support. It's a tremendous humbling feeling. And if you could see me right now, I'm grinning ear to ear like a Cheshire cat.
Well, you deserve that at the very least, because I know how much blood, sweat, and tears and effort went into your election, and again, you're very deserving of it. Not just for the elbow grease and the hard work, but because you really were and are qualified for this position. And so, Kathleen, I've heard some talk in Oakland County about how this is going to kind of shake down, or how there's some change-ups going on at the bench. Do you have any inside scoops on any of that, or how some of that's going to shake down as far as assignments?
I don't know too much yet. I've been meeting with the court administrator and getting a little bit of information, and it's a huge transition right now. One thing that I do know is that Judge Moore, who is retiring, whose position I'm taking over, he had a family docket and a probate docket. And I do know for a fact that my docket, they are taking the family portion away and spinning that off until to another judge, at least for the time being. I'm not certain the reason for it. It apparently the decisions were made prior to the election, so it certainly has nothing to do with me. I have to say I'm slightly disappointed because I love both aspects of probate and family law. I think I mentioned that to you before. However, I also feel pretty confident that sometime in the future, and hopefully near future, that I'll be able to regain some of the family docket.
Yeah, I had heard, I didn't know exactly how that was shaken out, but I know that, for example, Judge Alexander is switching to another portion of the court, and Judge Sosnick is coming in to take some of his docket, right?
That's right. Judge Sosnick is going on to the family bench. Judge Alexander is moving to the circuit. Judge Moore's family cases are going, the current cases are going to Judge Sosnick. And I do know there's a few other relatively new family judges. They've been on the bench for a little bit, a year or two, but not a significant amount of time yet. And that would be Judge Lisa Gorsica and Judge Mary Ellen Brennan. So there's a lot of new stuff going on in the family division and, of course, in the probate division because Judge Moore is retiring. I'm taking his spot. And then Judge Dan O'Brien just got elected 2 years ago. So they're doing a lot of moving around. And, again, I'm not quite sure how it's going to shake down. And I probably won't know totally until I take the bench in January. But to be certain, I will be keeping my eye on all those facets. And as I said, I would love to take on part of the family docket as well at some point. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little disappointed that I don't have any right now, but that doesn't mean forever by any means.
Well, in fact, Lisa Gorsica didn't have any either for the first year, but then she was immersed in it and doing a great job, too, I might add. But
absolutely. They're all doing fabulous jobs. And certainly some people will agree and some people will disagree. But I will have to say, you know, Oakland County has the best bar and the best bench out of any county in the state of Michigan, if you ask me. So with that being said, I'm honored to work with all these judges and looking forward to learning from them and perhaps bringing a little bit of my own experience and knowledge and ideas to the table as well.
Well, speaking of, you know, ideas, is there anything that you would like to bring forth to our listening audience as far as any policies that come to mind or any reforms that perhaps you might be bringing with you?
Well, on a formal level, I can't really speak to any policies yet. I have not been engaged in any of the meetings with the other judges and the administrative aspect. And to be honest, even if I did, I'm not sure if I'd be able to talk about it. However, what I can say with regard to my courtroom when I have one, which is just so bizarre to hear, say it out loud. I do know that I, you know, being a practicing lawyer for 14 years in that exact field, probate and family, I think I bring to the bench a litigant's perspective and a practitioner's perspective. Many judges who are elected and or appointed have never really practiced in those areas. And so I feel that I bring an approach from the other side of the bench that most newly elected or appointed judges don't have. With that being said, I think that I have some ideas to make the docket flow go faster on Wednesdays. As everybody knows, or maybe everyone doesn't know, Wednesdays are motion call days. And that's a big cattle call. Everybody schedules it at 8:30 in the morning, and everybody's there. I would like to have a staggered schedule so people don't have to wait 4 hours for their case to be called. Perhaps an 8:30 docket, a 10:30 docket, et cetera. I also know that I want to have a very open courtroom. I don't want litigants to be scared. Court is a very scary process in and of itself. These are people's lives. Especially in probate and family court, you're not just their lives, but their children's lives, their life fortunes, you know, their loved ones. It's very emotional, and I think that to have a more open forum, a little more friendly, give people the time to state what they need to state on the record, explain to my staff that they are working for the public, first and foremost, and to be as helpful as possible. I really want the process to be as smooth and painless as possible for the litigants, because as a practitioner for 14 years, I just know how my clients feel. They're petrified, they're scared, they're nervous, and you know, working in several counties throughout the state of Michigan, there's just a lot of courtrooms that are not inviting, and it really makes people nervous, and sometimes they can't get out what they want to say because of their nerves. And so things don't go as well for them as they could had the courtroom been a little more inviting.
No, those are great. Those are great points. And you know, we give you a lot of credit for, you know, giving the general public, you know, the feeling of being welcome in a courtroom, you know, so that they can say their piece and they can feel like they can get their point across. I'll tell you what, hang tight, Kathleen. We've got a caller on the line, and I also wanted to point out to you that my mom said congratulations, Judge Ryan, on the talk show board. So,
all right. Thank you. I'm not in front of the talk show board right now. My two computers in my household are being usurped by my teenage stepchildren.
Sure. Well, hang on. Hang tight. We've got a caller now. Welcome to Best Interest of Family Radio. Who do we have calling?
Well, this is Marty Brennan.
Hey, Marty.
how are we doing? Been a while, guys. How are you?
Yeah, well, Marty Brennan is not new to our broadcast, folks. Marty was on our broadcast a couple, two or three different times prior to the primary, and ran in the race with Kathleen Ryan and a few other folks. And so what brings you on the air tonight there, Mr. Brennan?
Well, I had to congratulate Kate. How are you, Kate?
Hi, Marty. How are you?
We've been playing
phone tag. I miss you. I owe you a telephone call.
I know. I'm so happy for you, Kate.
Oh, thank you so much, Marty.
You've been
terrific.
If it wasn't me, it was going to be you, and I'm very, very happy.
Well, I'm very grateful, and I have to tell Larry and Dave and the public who's listening right now that Marty Brennan is one of the most stand-up guys I have ever met, and he was the most formidable opponent of all, and I couldn't, and so gracious, and I'm just so grateful to have your friendship and your support after the primaries. You really made it much easier for me, and you helped me out a tremendous amount, especially in your neck of the woods, because that was a flip, your area of Rochester and Auburn Hills and parts of Troy, where you in the primaries just
I got the word out, you know, to everybody I could. I said, you know, let's support Kate here, you know, and
you smoked me in those areas, and so those votes were up for the taking, and I got to tell you, you helped me out tremendously, because if you look at the results, I was able to prevail in those areas, and I know I could not have done it without your support, Marty. So thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome. So.
Well, Marty, we know those things about him too, Kate, because we got to know Marty a little bit at the beginning of the campaign season, and had opportunity to get to know Marty even more deeply and better. And the one thing, you know, we invite everybody, regardless of their views, onto this show, because it's all about education. And in fact, a lot of times, you know, Dave and I could just find somebody to come with opposing views to shared parenting and to kids needing both parents. We'd love to have them on. We'd love to debate, and we'd love to educate and hopefully walk away with some like ideas that are going to bring things to a better and new level. But that's not Marty. Marty gets it. Marty's a dad. Marty's a husband. And Marty understands the need for kids to have both parents actively and in healthy ways involved in their lives. And as you say, he's a stand-up guy. He's a gentleman, and he's a shared parenting advocate. He's a fabulous attorney. He brings the same kinds of values that you're talking to every case that he litigates for. And Marty, our hats off to you.
It was great talking with you guys. We had a lot of fun. I hope we educated a lot of your listeners, and I thought that turned out well.
Absolutely. No
you know, I want to, you know, just compliment the judge here. You know, she made a great point when she said that, you know, it's so important for these families who come to courts to feel that, that, you know, they're welcome, that they're going to be heard. And, I mean, we actually have judges who think that they own their own courtrooms. And Kate, I know you understand this, and it's appalling.
It's not my courtroom; it's the people's courtroom.
Yeah, it's appalling. You know, they you know, people are intimidated, scared, and you know, I commend you because that's a great approach. And you know, everybody needs to feel comfortable, and they're going to be heard. You know, none of this, you know, crap of you know, what are you doing here, or what is this case about? You know, that's just so offensive.
I would like to hope that but when I take the bench and there's a case before me, I won't have to say what is this case about, because I think I'll be a little more prepared.
Well,
I'll read the file.
I'll be banging on your door.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Marty, as you know, being a litigator for so many years along with myself, and I do believe out of all the candidates in this race, and no disrespect to any of the other candidates, but I truly do believe that you and I were the most qualified.
No question.
And I believe that it's so important to have a judge on the bench who, especially in a family and probate environment, to have the experience of being in court with your clients. And knowing what they're going through, and knowing how scared they are, and knowing that if they mumble, it's not because they're being disrespectful, it's because they're nervous.
Right.
So with that being said, coming on the other side, and you know, hopefully I will maintain this promise, I will realize that these are just human reactions and nervousness, and it's no disrespect, and there's absolutely no need to chastise someone for not having the best of manners, so long as their, you know, their intentions are good.
Right.
And I don't want to scare people. I want to help people. I want them to feel like they are able to say what's on their mind, what they're thinking, why they're thinking it, what their reasoning and rationale is behind their thought process. So even at the very worst, as we all know, we have several judges that do listen. And it makes losing a case or losing your position a lot better. Half the time, people just want to be heard, and they can accept not winning on their position so long as they're heard.
Yeah, well, that's
it's
what
so
Judge
important.
Moore said, if you'll recall. You know, he said, you know, they need to be heard, have their day in court, and, you know, win or lose, they can walk out saying, at least I got a fair shake, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, I will remind myself every morning when I say my prayers and every evening when I say my prayers, I am not a judge, so to speak. I am a servant for the people, and that is my job. That is my role. That is my duty. That is my obligation, and not to get that robitis syndrome, as some people call it.
Or a black robe fever. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you know, guys, I'm not an expert in democracy, but the last time I checked, I think that's what democracy was all about, right? We're all in elected officials. Positions were elected to serve the people that elected us, and even as a judge, it's not our job, not ours. I mean, not your jobs. I can't be a judge, but it's not a judge's job to police. It's not a judge's job to rule over people. It's a judge's job to serve the litigants that come to them in creating an outcome that serves justice and fairness to everybody. I think that's a philosophy that people would expect a judge to take. And
absolutely. And also, one more very important point that I've been hammering since I started this campaign is judges need to be very, very careful about the discretion that they are given. They are not to create laws. They are to follow the law and apply the law to the facts, and not to abuse any discretion when there is gray areas, to go to the letter of the law, the meaning of the law as it was intended, not to have a means to an end argument that, well, I like the end result, so I'll fudge the means to get there. It's not right. You can't do it. And so, you know, it's very important to remember we don't make the law. We don't make the law, and we shouldn't try. That's what our legislature is for.
Right, and in knowing the difference between a judge's role to interpret the laws, a legislator's role to create them. And, yeah, well stated, Kate.
So hopefully I will be able to keep my promises. As I said, I'm certainly nervous, I and that's a good thing. If I wasn't nervous, I would be, if I were you all, I'd be frightened. I think a little bit of nervous energy and a little bit of fear is a good thing. Keeps everybody on their toes, everybody on their games. Makes you put your nose to the grindstone and work hard, because I was elected by the citizens of Oakland County, and I certainly do not want to lose their faith or go against any of the promises, although I've never made promises, so to speak, but the promise to, you know, stick with the law and administer justice.
Kate, you know, you got a brother on the bench, right,
and a
judge, you know?
Yes.
I mean, your father for a judge, and, you know, hopefully they're going to be there to give you a lot of help and guidance.
Oh, absolutely. I will definitely look to them for advice,
you know,
on the administrative aspect and how to handle yourself. It's a definitely different role. I do know that your social world changes a little because you have to be much more cautious in what you do. You're held to a higher standard, and you do live in a bubble. I have to laugh. The first week of January, I have to attend judges school, but I feel like I've already attended it 5 times because my father keeps calling me every day with about an hour of unsolicited advice. I feel like I'm back in high school. But it's all wonderful advice for sure. But again, I want everyone to know as well, it will be, ultimately my call, and I certainly am not going to be a rubber stamp image of my father and my brother. Many things I agree with, and many with regard to my family, and many things I don't. I definitely have my own mind, and I intend to keep it that way.
So, Kate, is that the way you'll also operate in the courtroom, that you won't necessarily just rubber stamp what, for example, a recommendation from the friend of the court is?
No, a judge has to look at everything with fresh eyes. There's a phrase, you know, de novo. You want to look at, which means new, and I certainly will take all recommendations, all from whether it be a psychologist or an expert or a discovery master or a friend of the court staff, if in fact I ever get a family docket back to this particular courtroom. But, you know, I will take all recommendations, I will look at them, but I will also make the ultimate decision based on what I know or believe the law to be and how the facts apply to it. And I don't believe rubber stamping is good in any venue, because it's a check and balance system, and it really needs to be, everything needs to be, you know, looked at with fresh eyes, treated like an independent fingerprint, so to speak.
Right.
So, but I certainly won't shy away from recommendations either. You look at them, you think about them, you see how it applies, you ask questions if you don't understand the recommendations. I think one of the keys to being a good judge is to ask the right questions, or to be a good anything.
Well,
whether
you
it's
know,
a teacher or a professor or a student, ask questions. If you don't understand or if it's a little confusing, don't make knee-jerk decisions or rash decisions. Ask the right questions. Ask more questions. Do your own research, things of that nature.
Right, and I think the key word you're using there, Kate, is that you're not a rubber stamper. I mean, recommendations are huge, because if people have taken the time to thoroughly and effectively research something, they should have something significant to contribute. But rubber stamping anything means that you, as an individual, aren't doing your job in taking in all the facts, and that's exactly what you're saying, that in fact you do have your own mind and you will consider everything versus just rubber stamping somebody's recommendations.
Well, yeah, and a judge also truly by law is not able to delegate their duties as a judge. So ultimately anybody who just rubber stamps any recommendation is, in my opinion, if they're not doing their due diligence and investigation on their own and asking the right questions, then they're delegating their position to someone who is not the judge, and that
Good
I don't
point.
Agree with. I don't agree with that.
Good point.
A recommendation is exactly that, a recommendation. Somebody investigates, somebody recommends, then the judge has to look at it, ask the right questions, see how they got to that recommendation. That's always helpful. See if one side was heard, and then to listen to the litigants. Often recommendations are wonderful because it gets parties to come to an agreement on their own without even having to go to the judge. But on other cases, one party might not feel like they got a fair shake, and which is why they get their opportunity before the court. And that's when it's most important that they be heard, to make no uncertainty that, you know, no stone was unturned. Hello?
So Mark, what do you think?
I'm sorry?
What do you think?
Well, I basically agree with Kate. And the other point I want to make is, you know, the recommendation is only as good as the investigator. I've dealt with some outstanding investigators, seen some incredible reports, and, for that you're appreciative. But Kate
Absolutely.
Makes, but Kate makes a great point. Everything has to be analyzed and reviewed, you know, separately and on its own merits to make sure that it's fair, it's comprehensive, and of course, to make sure everybody gets a chance to have their say. You know, even if it's apparent it's going to go one way, you still got to give those other litigants a chance to have their day in court. You know, that's just the way, you know, our system's set up.
Absolutely. And if they didn't have enough time, then I will encourage them to come back on another day as well.
Sure, we make time. We make
time. You make time. Judges have to be at court, or they're supposed to be at least, no less than 8:30 to 4:30. So in my opinion, you're not going to see me there a minute late or a minute early unless there's a darn good reason. And so I figure I'm going to be there anyhow. Let me hear it. I'm more than happy to do so. It's my job.
I was in Wayne County today, and I won't tell you whose court it was, but the hours were 9 to 12, 2 to 4. Now, you know what? Now, that's a job I want.
Maybe we should have run there.
God, I mean, how do you get a two-hour lunch hour? What do you do, you know?
It's a foreign concept to me.
God.
I usually eat at my desk while I'm reading something.
Yeah, I'm eating on the run. I'm grabbing a burger or something, you know?
That's right. Oh, my gosh, I'm so glad the campaign's over. I'm so happy to eat regular food. I'm so sick of fundraiser food and finger appetizers. And then my poor children have been eating Subway. My poor children have been eating Subway and pizza for far too long.
When are we having a swearing-in, Kate?
You know, we haven't picked a date, but I know it's going to be in the first couple weeks of January. The first week I have to be at judge's school. I didn't grasp what day I take the bench, but I think it's going to be January 10th. So I think the investiture is going to be after I take the bench, because although I believe I have the ability to plan to take the bench anytime, I don't want the docket to get jammed up, and I don't want people to have to wait to have their case heard any longer than they have to. And I also don't think it's fair to spin off cases to visiting judges or to other judges who may or may not know the facts, and they won't be on that case that long. So what I plan to do is look at the docket, look at how many cases I have that are pending, active, see how complicated they are, and maybe setting them on certain different days and really doing the full court press in court the first 2 weeks to get everybody heard, even if it's not on a regular motion call day. If I have the time, if I'm able to schedule it and all the parties are okay with it, I'll say, hey, come in on a Thursday, come in on a Friday, come in on a Monday. That's fine with me. I'm here. So to answer your question, I believe probably the second week of January.
And that's a good time. You're beyond all the holidays and all that stuff too. So
right. And I'm certainly going to have an investiture so that my family and supporters and friends can be part of it and see it. But on the same note, I'm not going to make it an inauguration or a this is your life type retirement party type thing.
Yes, please do it with dignity. Thank you. Oh, my God. Yeah, no roast, okay? So.
No, I don't even want to put myself in the line of fire.
God.
Too much ammo.
What about hazing? What is time of hazing for her? While we're fitting her for a robe.
I've already been fitted. I've already been fitted for my robe, because I never even knew you had to be fitted. I truly thought it was a one-size-fit-all. What do I know?
Well, the cool thing about black is everything goes with it, so you'll be okay there.
Yeah.
Well, it won't be that much of a change from my current wardrobe. Lawyers have probably the most boring wardrobe of all time. Black, gray, brown, and if I want to get sassy, I might wear a red blouse.
Well, unless you're a good personal friend of mine, William Berlin, you ever seen him walk in the courtroom?
I don't think so.
He's something else. You won't miss him. He wears these really loud ties and really loud shirts with the ties, and it's pretty hilarious for an attorney. One of these days we're going to get Bill on the show, too.
How about a suit like the guy in, my cousin Vinny, the Colonel Sanders suit?
Yeah, there you go. We've seen a couple of those come in the courtroom. And in fact, I went into Ivy Shelton the other day, and you got a real kick out of seeing him. You know, it's been quite some time, and he was involved deeply with Dads and Moms of Michigan for quite some time. So, kind of a blast from the past. I'll tell you what. As we're signing off with Marty, I want to ask you a question, Marty. Who between these two teams, who's your favorite, Michigan or Notre Dame?
Oh, my God.
Hey, careful.
Well, Kate knows I bleed maize and blue. So.
No, that's your only fatal flaw.
Can't help you there.
I'm going to have to recuse myself from any case that Marty Brennan walks into the courtroom.
That's okay. It's two against two. We need a tiebreaker here.
I think if that were a true statement, which it's not, I would have about five attorneys that could practice before me. So, and after Notre Dame season, kind of thinking of switching.
Well, I think you and I should get an annual bet going to have a little fun with it, you know?
Sounds like a plan to me.
We need to have some fun with this. So.
Sounds like a plan to me. We'll start fresh next year. Both our teams struggled a bit, but I'd like to say Notre Dame and Michigan are just giving all the other teams a chance for a couple of years. We're setting up a sense of false security.
That's okay. I'm waiting for the Irish to come back, Kate. So
it's getting so bad over here at the Heron House, though, that I think Larry's going to need a therapist.
Well, we are going to a bowl game this year. I don't know if it's the toilet bowl or what, but we are going. We're going, Marty.
Yeah, we'll see where.
At least we're not the Lions.
Yeah.
Or Dallas.
I think we can all feel sorry for the Lions, right?
Well, it's almost comical now.
It's a bad joke, but yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's pretty bad. But
but then again, the Lions aren't Dallas.
We're going to find out, because Dallas is coming up here this Sunday, I believe. That's our game. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm so out of the loop. This whole campaign, I've not been able to have my normal football Sundays and football Mondays and football weekends, and I really have not been following any of my normal sports or whatnot. Or reading books. Those are my two favorite things to do, is sports and reading. And when I get a little more situated and the transition occurs, I'll certainly be back on the game with what's going on in the football world.
Yep, you'll be back on track. Did you get a chance to take a vacation, Kate?
Nope. That's not true. The day after the election, I had one day off. And I went golfing in 32-degree weather with driving rain, and it was wonderful. But that was my big vacation, and I don't anticipate having one for a while. Again, I just don't see the time. I have to take care of my existing clients and wrap things up and help my law partner and figure out, you know, what's going to happen. And I just don't want to leave anyone high and dry. I just have too many people to take care of now. I would be shirking my duties and responsibilities, which I just can't do.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But I will have a vacation someday. I will. But just.
But we're not surprised. You know, you're always hitting the ground running one way or the other, you know.
Well, I think I think if I was a kid these days, I'd be diagnosed with something, whether it's ADD or something. You know, fortunately, my extra energy and my somewhat spastic personality helps when you have to dig deep and not have a lot of sleep and downtime.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have yet another caller on the line. So let me see who's on. And again, Marty, thanks for coming on, and we enjoyed having you on the program again.
Yep, I'm going to sign off. So.
Hey, thanks, Marty, and I'm going to be giving you a call. We've got to get together for lunch soon.
Yep, when you get the time, Kate.
All right, now make the time for you, my friend.
Good, it'll be good to see you. Okay.
Likewise, bye-bye.
Take care, Marty.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we're bringing in another caller. Good evening, and welcome to Beth Hurst, the Family Radio.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, and who do we have calling?
It's an anonymous phone caller, okay? An anonymous person is calling, okay?
Okay.
I know this voice, but I will keep your anonymity.
You don't know me, neither does Dave, and neither does anybody else, okay? I tend to be very introverted.
Just a wallflower.
Yeah, I'm a wallflower and everything else.
And she's either calling from Taylor, Kegel Harbor, or somewhere south of Michigan.
That's right. I'm calling from Alabama. And I just want to let you know that the courts here are really screwed up, that basically a child was not allowed to go ahead and get medical treatment and had a broken foot for 4.5 days. Thank you to the court system.
Mm.
So now that I'm in the sticks of Alabama, I'm just kind of like pissed off right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
So may I ask, okay, you say that the court is responsible for a kid's broken foot. Can you elaborate on that?
Basically what has happened is we got this program called the SMILE program, the ADEPT program, and all that other kind of crap. And the people who actually wrote the domestic violence bench book and stuff, who co-authored it and have been given credit for it, know of assaults that have taken place in front of a kid. They know that the child has two different diagnostic codes and needs to get educational treatment and testing, and that the father's refusing to do it, and the friend of the court worker saying, well, until he basically agrees, and then we're not going to let this get done. So the kid's now in eighth grade and cannot write in cursive the way most kids can do. He already has two different diagnostic codes stating what the problem is and how he could be helped with vision therapy. So the kid ended up walking out of school this past Friday, and the biological mother, who's lost, you know, money and everything else and can't afford the court battles anymore, calls the father, calls the attorney, calls the court-appointed counselor, calls all these different people saying, please help, please help. The kid, his foot is hurt. He limped to the car. He has a swollen foot. I think it's broken. And the father, the attorney, the court-appointed counselor, all these different people refuse to go ahead and give the mama permission to get the kid to the doctor. The kid has already been to the hospital before, and the court workers all know what has taken place, and she had to walk away the last time with the kid limping on her shoulder because the father refused to get the kid, permission for the kid to be treated. And
wow.
So, meanwhile, this is 4.5 days later, and the mama goes ahead and goes to the sheriff's department, you know, how those are mandated reporters, and basically tries to file, you know, a concern, a grievance, and all this other kind of stuff, and is not even given a pen to sign in at the main headquarters of the sheriff's department, and she requests to go ahead and talk to internal affairs, and basically is given the rude treatment again, okay? So the same mama ends up contacting DHS. She contacts the hospital. makes an amendment to the report to make sure butt's covered dealing with what's taken place and puts in there who she's contacted with the school, the court-appointed counselor and all these, you know, the pediatrician, all these different people, and goes through everything that's happened. And so on Monday when the parent ends up contacting the school secretary says, well, you know what, we leave it up to the kid to come here, you know. And basically the parent says, no, the kid may have broken his foot. Please contact the stepmother. The father's living out of state. Please do something to help the kid out. So the school even refuses to go ahead and, you know, help out there. And meanwhile, the kid still has a broken foot. So this is what happened on Monday night as the kid finally, after the mother's sits there and screams about what's taken place. Finally, the kid is taken into the emergency room, and the poor mom is sitting there and worrying about the daggum judge throwing her in jail for being in contempt of court because how dare her sit here and get treatment for the daggum kid who's meanwhile in excruciating pain, okay?
Was it diagnosed ultimately that he had a broken foot?
He has a broken foot.
Has that been brought to the attention of all the individuals that you contacted?
Well, the mother
that,
gone ahead,
you know,
and
or lack
everybody.
Of better words, you know, mother was right, see?
Well, yeah, Dr. Mom was right. You know what I mean? Dr.
And that
Mom
has been brought
right.
to their attention or no?
Yeah, that got brought it to their attention today.
And what was the reaction or result of that?
There's not been any results given, but it's like it's a pile of crap. And meanwhile, the Dr. Mom has gone ahead and contacted DHS in another situation where a poor guy is dealing with his kids being beat up, okay? The guy doesn't know when his kids are going to be in a daggum body bag, okay? There's several cases before DHS. And they're sitting there, and then finally Dr. Mom contacts them and says, you know what, I'm a licensed professional counselor. The kids are wetting themselves when they have to be sent in, back into the mother with her abusive boyfriend and all this other kind of stuff. They're being traumatized. They're going to end up in a body bag unless you do something. So that's how Dr. Mom has spent her night. Okay?
Mm.
And meanwhile, DHS comes back and says, oh, well, are you dating the guy? Well, do you have any relationships with the guy? And it's like, no, I'm a licensed professional counselor, said the Dr. Mom says, and says something needs to be done before they end up in a body bag. Several situations have been reported to you, and something needs to be done.
Has anybody contacted the Attorney General?
The Attorney General basically comes back, and he's real good at writing emails back to different people and saying that basically he can't get involved in this kind of stuff and go ahead and contact an attorney and do whatever, and that basically they will not go against the government workers.
Wow.
Yeah. That's,
well, obviously, you know, you know, Kathleen Ryan hasn't taken the bench yet, and we and for all intents and purposes, we're very very pleased, caller, that you called in about these issues. These are important issues, and obviously, I know you wanted to bring this to the attention of not only our listeners but also Kathleen Ryan, who will be soon taking the bench, because these are important matters. I mean, when you've got children's, you know, lives in the balance, you know, where you've got you know, possible, you know, threatening situations or allegations of abuse, and you have a situation that you're describing where a child went 4 days without treatment of a serious matter of a broken foot. There, you know, something's slipping through the system, and I think that underlyingly, that is what I'm hearing is your concern. Besides the fact that the mother feels as though, you know, she's going to be fall under court scrutiny and perhaps even be jailed if she brings, you know, if she tries to get proper medical help for her child. Am I following this correctly?
Absolutely. And the whole thing is, though, is that that the Dr. Mom feels like this is absolute negligence on the front of the court workers, on the part of the sheriffs, on the part of the court-appointed counselor, on the part of the judge. I mean, it's like, you know what, you just sit there and try to be a daggum parent. to your kid, and all of a sudden you got a judge sitting there and not allowing a kid to go ahead and have contact with you, have the kid not have communication with you. It's been an ongoing situation with this one case for well over 12 years, okay? And there's been numerous grievances placed before the front of the court people. The head of the front of the court basically had the intestinal fortitude to go and write back and say, basically, we don't care about the kids. You know what I mean? And this is the reason why I've been following your show and listening to what you have to say, because I feel like all these people need to be held accountable for what they're doing. That I know too many people nationwide who are dealing with the negligence of the front of the court workers and the judges and everybody else to just basically implement some common sense.
Well, if I may say, I can't speak on behalf of, you know, Alabama or what, you know, that particular case. And also I have to be very cautious in what I say now because I'm judge-elect and I'm not allowed to say how I would rule on something or make any promises if that particular incident were before me. But what I can say, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier, is that's exactly why I believe every judge needs to look at every case and analyze it with great detail and not ignore either parent, even if and just for argument's sake only, even if a parent has one of the, you know, most aggravating of personalities or somebody you don't necessarily like, it doesn't matter. You definitely have to look at them as the parent because parents know their children. They have instincts, and they need to be listened to, and their allegations need to be looked into and investigated.
Well,
so, again, I can't make promises of what I would do if that case was before me other than the fact that I guarantee that I would look at every single allegation made for sure. That would be the judge's job. That's why they're there.
And this is the reason why people that I know up in Michigan have gone to bat for you because I'm very involved politically down south as well as in other, you know, areas. And a lot of people want to have somebody who is elected as a judge who actually cares about the kids who's going to cut through the crap here.
And absolutely. And it's not about, at some point, it's not about the parents. It's about the children. And any allegation made needs to be looked at. Any concern raised needs to be seriously considered. And, you know, I fully intend on doing that. One of the types of cases that I'll be receiving as a probate judge, other than family law, is neglect cases. And what I've seen in my practice litigating is often one parent makes allegations and the other parent denies it or doesn't, but only one side really gets heard. And it's extremely frustrating. Both sides need to be heard 100% until they are done, until they are done saying what they have to say. And then those matters need to be looked into and not taken lightly at all. And I always like to say, especially when it comes with children, you always err on the side of caution, always. You don't say, well, it probably didn't happen, so I'm going to, you know, go with the odds of probability. Heck no. You've got to take every allegation very seriously and from both sides and then start analyzing from there. And that is such a shame, the story that you're telling, if in fact it's true, which I have no reason to doubt you or this individual, but I can't speak to the courts in Alabama, of course.
Well, I know that, but that's where it's a relief to many people nationwide who are aware of your judicial race that you're going to actually be a judge and you're going to be able to actually listen to the parents and you're not going to discount what they have to say and you're going to be checking into what they have to say and they're going to check the veracity of their statements.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, I could not live with myself if I were the judge and ignored all these complaints and allegations and requests to have medical treatment, and then I found out 4 or 5 days later that the child actually had a broken foot, and I ignored it because for whatever reasons, I had a bad day or it's just unconscionable to me. And following up on what you've said, I certainly hope that I can be that judge, and I assure you I will do everything in my power to do so. And I do hope other judges look at the way I handle my courtroom, and I feel confident that I'm going to back up what I'm saying. And if other judges can see that that is the more appropriate way to handle things, perhaps there can be some change just by setting example.
No question, Katie.
I mean, certainly not every judge is like that, and I would say the majority are not. But, yes, there are several judges around the nation that really do ignore people's pleas. And I just find that unconscionable. And if I can set an example to others, whether they're in Michigan, Alabama, Texas, Rhode Island, or wherever, that would be fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
You absolutely have an opportunity to set a trend and to set a tone. And caller, just curious, how old did you say this child was?
Almost 14 years old.
14. And so, Kate, at this age, and I know that it varies state to state in terms of what the law is saying and as far as what each judge, how much weight they give to a child's testimony, or at what point might they bring in a child to maybe talk, maybe even just one-on-one with the judge to get a better understanding of what the child's experience and all these types of matters are. And what does the state, like, for example, in Michigan say about doing that with children?
You know, there's no set law. There's no set age, and that's a misnomer. If I had a dollar for every time a client said, well, my child's 10 now or my child's 12 now, they can make their own decisions, right? The answer is no, they can't. However, a judge always has a discretion to bring in the child and speak in camera. In camera means not in a courtroom where they're put on the spot, where they can talk to the judge or a staff member or whatnot. And I would have to say I personally would approach that on a case-by-case basis because every child has a different level of maturity. There are some 10-year-olds that have the maturity of an 18-year-old, and there's some 17-year-olds that have the maturity of a 6-year-old. It depends on, you know, the child itself. It depends on the situation. It depends on the issue at hand. You know, there's several issues that children have. Some, what schools they want to go to. Others, where they want to live. Others have lots to say that one of their parents is maybe being negligent or abusive, and they should always be heard. However, there's also a fine line that you have to balance. You certainly want to keep kids out of the middle, for sure.
Right.
But there definitely does come a time in several situations where really the child has more input and more knowledge of a situation and more of a handle of what's going on than anybody gives them credit for.
Yeah.
So again, it has to be a case-by-case analysis, in my opinion. You always want to keep the kids out of it, but sometimes it's inevitable. It unfortunately is inevitable where you do have to get a child involved to a certain extent because you got to get down to the truth. And children also should not be ignored.
Right. Well, and then there obviously it's up to a judge's discretion, you know, whether or not they want to involve the child. But, of course, the party, you know, with advice from their legal counsel could obviously motion for an in-camera hearing. And again, my understanding is that is still up to the discretion of the judge whether or not, of course, you're going to accept that as something that is a measure that you're going to take is going to take place in your courtroom.
That's right.
You know, or in that particular case.
The judge has a lot of discretion. Also, sometimes some different tactics that the judges use to avoid the appearance of impropriety. You know, such as having a child in their chambers talking to them or talking to a staff member. Sometimes you get a little nervous of what people are going to accuse, what, you know, manipulation or whatnot. So another tactic is getting the child a very, very good counselor or psychologist and then having the counselor or psychologist report to the court. At that point, the judge can then delve deeper, take their, you know, report at, you know, for what it has to say, provided it's proper investigation, whatnot. There's a lot of different techniques that you can use. And again, it really depends on the family dynamics and the maturity level of the child, the complexity of the case. It's a very, very, I can only imagine as a judge, I've not been there yet, that it would be a very, very delicate situation. And it has to be handled properly. And, you know, that's when you pray a lot and you do a lot of research. And you then the judge has to, you know, use their discretionary powers as to what's in the child's best interest.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kate, if you need a mental health professional, you know, just make sure that you keep Larry Heron, the parent coach, on your speed dial. But I'll tell you what, we're going to have to, we appreciate your call in tonight from the state of Alabama. We've run out of time. You know, again,
thank you, caller.
Thanks for coming to Best Interest of the Family Radio tonight. And we're going to finish things up with newly elected Judge Kathleen Ryan. And Kathleen, so, you know, what are you going to do next?
What am I going to do next? Tomorrow morning I'm going to be in court for motion call. That's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to go and open my file after this telephone call and prepare.
Well,
and that's about as far. That's about as far as I can think right now.
You know, that's the first thing I thought of though is motion. You know, Wednesday morning motion calls, and you mentioned that you know your courtroom would be open even on days that wouldn't normally be particularly utilized for court cases, and that's inviting because you're going to free up some parking spaces on Wednesday because it's standing room only up there in Oakland County, as you well know.
Yes. Well, I hope so. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of administrative aspects that I don't know yet. So, you know, I have to look into that, learn that. But, you know, my hope is that, and I do know that judges can really set their docket any way they want. I am not necessarily, I mean, certainly motion call days will be motion call days, but I'm not necessarily going to restrict them to only Wednesdays. There are some cases that are so complex. And in order to give the parties and their attorneys the adequate enough time that they need to present their case, a Wednesday motion call won't do it because you've got a host of people waiting. So, in those types of cases, I would say, look, let's do it on a non-Wednesday day so you can have your time and not feel rushed. So, you know, I mean, again, everything is a case-by-case basis. I don't believe in blanket rules. I don't. I think everything needs to be, I believe in blanket rules as far as the court rules and the statutes and the law, but as far as running a courtroom and administrative issues, I think that flexibility and rolling with the punches is very important, being able to shift and to accommodate the needs of the people, not the comfort zone of the judge and the judge's staff.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kate, we have eaten up a whole hour of time bringing
wow.
you back on the program, and so we're going to wind things down, and thank you again for not only coming on the show tonight, but for being, you know, having the right stuff and prevailing in this local election for Oakland County Probate Judge. And we wish you the very best, and we're certainly going to continue to, you know, support you based on your personal philosophies and your integrity and your moral standards. And, gosh, you know, God blessings to you as you're going to your
oh,
job.
Thank you so much. Your kind words and your support before, during, and after, I really couldn't do it without you guys and other people. I'm really flattered and very humbled, and I just can't thank you enough. I am just so grateful to everybody out there, and especially to you guys. You've given me the opportunity to, you know, ask me questions, let the people know out in the radio world, you know, what I stand for. You've given me that opportunity, and I'm just very grateful for it. So thanks so much.
Kate, it's our privilege, it's our pleasure, because as Dave is saying, you fill a light of integrity, and we appreciate and we're excited about your leadership, because we know that you bring integrity to the table, that regardless of what a final decision might be, there'll be a lot of thought, there'll be a lot of progressive kind of thinking and effort made to making the right decision, the decision that brings, again, resolution and justice to any situation that comes before you, because that's who you are. We know that about you because it shines through in everything you do. And we very much appreciate that Oakland County is going to have your integrity on that bench. And, hey, you're going to set a tone. You're going to set a trend. We're very, very confident of that. You're not going to let anybody down.
Thank you. I won't let you down. I assure you I will not let you down.
We absolutely know that. We believe in you, and we know that that you bring that to everything you do. That's who you are. And we're very.
And also, this is an elected position, so I'd be pretty foolish to go against my word now, wouldn't I? Because before you know it, 6 years is going to go by real fast.
Kathleen, it doesn't bother any of the other so-called politicians.
That's right.
But as Linda was saying, in your particular instance, we're not worried about it because,
not at all.
Because we know the root of Kathleen Ryan, and the root is all based on again, as we pointed out, integrity and morality, and you can't go bad with that.
Well, I got to thank my mom and my dad and our good Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, but
amen.
For those three, I wouldn't be who I am today. So.
Absolutely.
Big shout outs to Mom and Dad Ryan and to our Savior up there.
That's all good stuff. In fact, my mom has been writing stuff on the talk show board during the entire new tongue just breaking in the program tonight. And she pointed out, she said that you're by far her most favorite guest we've ever had on the show.
Oh, that's awesome. Hi, Mom. That's great. Oh, I'm so grateful.
And she's
Thank
a great
you.
Cook too, Kate. That woman can cook.
Maybe I'll
ask for some tips because that is I think I'm a fine attorney with a fine mind, but cooking not so much.
We've heard that rumor about you. You shine in all the areas except cooking.
I am not a domestic goddess. I admit, mea culpa. I admit my heinous sins.
Well, you know, it's all fine because you know what? I got a chance to talk at depth with your husband Kevin, and he said he's perfectly happy picking up that little part of life for you.
Oh, he's the best, and you can tell I've gained some good chunks of LBs since we got married, and I'm happy to do it. He's a great cook.
Well, I'll tell you, Larry's like my brother from another mother, and our moms are like, you know, you walk into one house or the other, it doesn't really matter. They both have the same attributes. It's hilarious. You
That's
know, they're both great.
Great
cooks, and it's almost like they both cook out of the same cookbook. It's that nuts. But
then it has to be the 1956 Betty Crocker with the red and white checkered plaid. I have that too. I've just never opened it.
Still got the binder on it, huh?
Before we go, I got to tell you the funniest cooking story. Please, please, please. This is so funny. This will show you where I'm at there. I dated a guy once, and he was a good cook too. Somehow all the guys I dated were good cooks. There was a reason behind my madness. But I remember I was going to help cook a meal, right? And I'm reading the cookbook, and it says, add meat, spices, and brown. So I'm desperately going through the cabinets. And my boyfriend at the time says, what are you looking for? And I said, the brown. Where is the brown? And he had to tell me it was a verb. He said, Kate, brown is a verb. And I said, oh, never mind.
Well, thank goodness the judge's manual has nothing to do with cooking. You'll be just fine.
Yes, and you know, I need to brush up on my adverbs and verbs, apparently. Didn't know brown was a verb. I thought it was a spice.
There are some people who've walked out of court feeling cooked, but that's a
whole
other story.
A little overdone at times.
Absolutely.
Crispy.
They're looking for the brown and a few other things as well. But
there's some brown that goes on in the courtroom too.
Oh God, you guys are hilarious.
Some other stuff, but anyway, we digress. But again, thanks for coming on the show tonight. We're going to wind things down and. yeah, we, you know, look forward to, you know, everything going forward from here, Kate. And good
luck. Absolutely. Thanks, gentlemen, and you know I'll be keeping in touch.
You betcha.
Sounds good. Good night,
Kate. Am I signing off now?
Well, you see, last time we did this, you signed off about five different times, so I think maybe...
I know. I've got to sign off this time. I really do have to get some work done.
It's all good. We really appreciate you coming on tonight, Kate. God's blessings to you.
Appreciate
all right, God
you,
bless both of you. I'm signing off.
Ah, you're right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, as I hope I didn't just take off. I think we're okay. Yep, we're back on. Well, Larry, what a delight having Kathleen Ryan back on the show. This is her third trip.
It is always a delight to have Kathleen Ryan. She's amazing. She truly is.
Well, we always have so much fun with Kate. You know, and now we call her Kate, which, you know, originally it was Kathleen, and so we've gotten real familiar with Kate Ryan, and, you know, just a delightful person, very knowledgeable in the law, got all the right stuff to go in there, put that black robe on, sit at that, you know, at the judge's bench, and, you know, it's all good. I can't see anything wrong with anything going forward in that courtroom.
Nope, I'm very confident that Oakland County has gained a winner. And, you know, can't get enough winners on the bench. That's a great thing. And she'll bring, as we say, she'll bring integrity. She'll bring perspective to an otherwise adversarial process. Court's never easy. And obviously people come with raw emotions and a lot of different issues to the table. But Kate's good at sorting them out. And I hope she does get that family bench, because I think she'll bring some much needed perspective there as well. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see somebody who's qualified and good affecting the lives of people. And as we talked about during the election season, a probate judge, my gosh, they have more immediate impact on families and on individuals than the governor or a congressman or a senator. This is immediate. This hits home real quick, real fast, and real hard. So, you know, having somebody like her is, it's exciting, and it's good.
It's all good, Larry. And it's all good here at Best Interest of the Family Radio, where we uphold that children need what?
Both parents, no question.
And the fact of the matter is, unfortunately, there are a number of children that are living without a parent or both parents and the influence of their lives. And, you know, Larry and Heron and I both uphold the fact that children not only need both parents, they need the influence of both parents. They need to know their heritage. They need to be able to laugh and to learn from both parents on an equal basis. Not an uneven-handed, you know, type of cookie-cutter every other weekend type of thing like a non-custodial parent receives in many cases. And you know what? Where did that term non-custodial ever come from, Larry? You know,
it's offensive.
It is offensive. And for all intents and purposes, all that does is create ambiguity as far as it goes with relationships. And let's face it, it's still a relationship. When people are either out, you know, neither married or divorced, it's still a relationship after the divorce. I mean, you're in a relationship, you're in a partnership, because you got to raise a child going forward. And you know what? If you disenfranchise one of those parents, what's going to occur is there's going to be resentment, right? I mean, you're the parent coach. Though, you know, you tell me what type of things come to mind when you've got a situation where one parent's being basically thrown under the bus. They're getting, you know, four to six overnights a month. They desperately want to be a loving and encouraging part of a child's life, but they're feeling resentful.
Well, no question. I mean, you know, you're disenfranchising a parent in their role and yet robbing them blind in child support. And so it'd be kind of like me telling you, Dave, here's a house and you're going to make the house payment, but you can only spend, you know, a couple times a month in it. Yeah, you're going to be very resentful. And when you feel like all your money is being given to that quote-unquote custodial parent, and you don't get to participate in anything more. You've just been basically assigned to be a financial sponsor to your children, but not a real parent. You might understand how a parent can then become resentful, and unfortunately, and I certainly don't warrant it, or in any way, it's not warranted, but they bail. They bail. And quite frankly, the system in that regard certainly creates a resentment that sometimes parents do actually, you know, they bail. And that then the kids really lose. And so, yeah, there's got to be some reforms in that. Judges will say that you need to go to Lansing and get those reforms because it's the legislation. Legislation will say, no, there's enough laws on the books for shared parenting every time. And you got to go back to the judges. Somewhere in the middle of all of this, we need to create ease. And we are seeing trends. We're seeing judges like a Kathleen Ryan on the bench that understand this, that are setting new trends, that are progressive thinkers, that understand that kids need both parents. And more, we're seeing new and positive trends that if you go to court and you say, look, it doesn't matter why I'm getting divorced, it doesn't matter that I was never married, my child needs me, I'm stepping up, I'm going to be an everyday parent. More and more, we're seeing those types of awards, regardless of what another parent might do to try to take you out of the mix. But you need to do that. You need to be a woman or a man of integrity, the kind that your child needs. Again, somebody your child can love and understand in real time, in real parenting, and you just need to simply step up and go after it, because truly, that's what children need. And, you know, Dave, I can just imagine my 7-year-old son saying, geez, this weekend I'm going to visit my non-custodial dad.
Yeah.
Could you see DJ doing that?
Not in a million years.
Not in a million years. That's not the kind of attachment I have to my son. But I've worked like hell to achieve something better. And it's unfortunate that anybody has to work like hell to achieve it. It's just wrong. It when a system is such that it can be manipulated and you have to go through hell and high water to be a parent to your child, that in and of itself suggests there's room for improvement. No good and willing parent should have to go through that. But that's why we're out here, trying to make that difference.
Well, a few things that you mentioned, Larry, that come to mind is, you know, the judge's discretion and kind of the new thoughts that some of the newer judges are bringing in. Now, they're certainly following the law. I mean, that's the interesting thing about it. You know, they're coming in with these with the facts that they understand, because many of them, and there are a couple on the bench that are divorced and they're in blended families and they understand the dynamics and they understand that the high conflict that goes on within some of these relationships, because some of them live it to a degree.
No question.
And even some of them have even come from being children of divorce. That's why we're seeing the change, in addition to the fact that we've got educational programs like Best Interest of the Family Radio. We've got organizations like Dads and Moms of Michigan, like the Family Rights Coalition, you know, Children and Fathers and Fathers and Families, and you name it, you know, that are out here becoming more mainstream. The other side of the fact that you get a parent that feels either disenfranchised and resentful, what are the children feeling, Larry? What are the children feeling that are being put into these cookie cutter schedules where they've got a primary parent and a secondary parent, a visitor in the lives of their, you know, in their lives?
Right. No, children feel the loss in that regard. You know, we've got somebody on the board right now stating that a child has 23 chromosomes. Thank you. Chromosomes.
Even I can say that, Larry.
Jeez.
Chromosomes. Okay.
I used to know what a chromosome was, and I used to be able to say it. But they have 23 from each parent. Denigrate a parent, and you denigrate half the child. And absolutely correct to whoever that is. Oh, that's Jason.
Yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen his name pop up here, but welcome to the program, Jason.
Recognize it. Jason is always states things very well, and he's absolutely right in that regard. And, you know, we want to break down that into something even more practical. Children are wired to need both their parents, and they need them in real parenting in real time.
Hey, look, if you're married and you live in an intact household, I can't tell you how many kids I've had in family therapy where parents are married, but it's just one's enmeshed and the other one's out and about and just not there at all. And the kid acts out that dynamic. One's not so much enmeshed, but stuck doing all the parenting. The other one, again, not spending enough time, and I have to rearrange to get a new dynamic. Kids need both. And when they don't have both, they feel that void. How unfortunate, how tragic when parents get divorced or never married and they try to take that other parent out of the mix. Now what you're doing is, again, creating that same void. And don't think kids don't know it. Kids gravitate to try to fill those voids to that other parent. And when there's a wall there, when they can't get to them, they experience that void in a very conflictual way. And as we're talking about conflict, understand, too, that if kids feel stuck in the middle, if kids feel like they have to referee between parents, that creates an anxious child. There's books out there, Creating an Anxious Child. You know, you pick one of those books up and take a gander at that. I'm telling you, Dave, there's nothing worse than creating anxiety in a child than engulfing them in the conflict between you by making them referee between you, by making them message back and forth, by making them choose. Kids can't do it. Kids don't want to do it. They're overwhelmed to do it. And certainly they would be. They don't want to have to choose between their parents. They need a whole and complete relationship with each of them. And good parenting understands that. Good parenting gives to it. You got to sacrifice, you know, whatever it is you're feeling that's your own personal issues for what your children need you to contribute in establishing the type of relationship that they need in you and giving to the type of relationship that they need in that other parent. That's what good parenting does. That's what good parenting is. As the SMILE program states, and I wholeheartedly agree, the greatest gift you can give your kids is permission to love their other parent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and you've got to love your kid enough to respect the other parent is absolutely it. It's the bottom line. And I'll tell you what, Larry, you know, we've kind of gone over our time tonight, but some really good discussion. Really good guest. Very excited again about Kathleen Ryan and taking the bench in January. And, you know, we'll be back on Tuesday with another guest and looking forward to it. And, you know, folks, until then, God's blessings, and we will see you next Tuesday on Best Interest of the Family Radio.
Good night.